Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
I'm going to ask you this morning to open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. And the title of the message today is A Big Deal. You know, some things really are a big deal, okay? A big deal. Let's go with that thought. Revelation chapter 5, in my understanding, the church has been raptured here and is in heaven. If you do not have a pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, then go ahead and be wrong. You know nobody knows, but I want to hold on to what I believe because it gives me security, okay? That's supposed to be funny. It makes me feel better to think any minute Jesus is coming to get me, and He is. I will experience a rapture whether anybody else does or not. Jesus is coming for me in my lifetime. He's coming for you in your lifetime. And so, in my understanding, the church has been caught away, has been raptured, okay? But in Revelation chapter 5, we're not talking about rapture this morning. We're just talking about reality. We're talking about a future event, something that is going to happen, something that John, the Apostle John, saw when he saw into heaven. The Bible says, and they sang a new song, saying, he saw people singing, and they were singing this song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Guess who he's talking to? He's talking to Jesus. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now, here, you are worthy because you gave your life. You were slain, and you have redeemed us. You have redeemed us. I think the us he's talking about are the born-again believers. Those are the people who have been redeemed, and I believe that John sees them in heaven saying, you are the one that was slain and redeemed us, and you have redeemed us out of every nation, out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every nation on the earth. Verse 10, and you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures. Now, there are a lot of people there. The redeemed are there. The angels are there. The living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. My goodness. Millions upon millions upon tens and hundreds of millions of souls, of people and angels, and so much so that this figure is given to say that it is an innumerable number of people there, like sand on the seashores of all the world. And they were saying with a loud voice in verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Do you get the picture? It's a pretty big deal, okay? Wouldn't you say that that is a pretty big deal, that we are looking forward? This is going to happen. This is a prophetic. It's revelatory. This is our future. This is a big, big deal. And it's been a big deal for a long, long time. You know, Daniel prophesied it hundreds of years earlier in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. Talking about Revelation 20 and verse 12. Daniel's talking about it hundreds of years earlier. It's always been our future. Verse 14, then to him, talking about this Lamb, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Listen, heaven is no small affair. Okay? Heaven is a big deal. Heaven, our future, your future, my future, the future of every born-again Christian. Who is a born-again Christian? A born-again Christian is a person who has invited Jesus to come into their life to save their soul, to forgive their sins. It's as simple as an invitation. It's an invitation. He wants to come and live in your life. He wants to cause you to be born again. Not born from your mother again, but born of the Spirit. And that happens when his life enters into us by invitation. He has knocked on your door. He has said, "Can I come in?" And when you say, "Yes, you can come in," the Bible says he will come in and live with you forever. That is a big deal. And when he comes in, the Bible says he changes us. He makes us a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And what we were before, even though we may continue to look like that individual, something happened on the inside. A spiritual phenomenon happened that is called being born again. Jesus said, "You must be born again." He told Nicodemus, "You can't just be good and get good enough. You must be born again." Nicodemus said, "How does this happen?" Jesus said, "It's like the wind blowing. The Holy Spirit, when you invite him into your life, he will change your life and live with you forever." Wow. Heaven is no small affair. God has been steadily working his plan. God wants a big, big family. That's the will of God. Did you see how many people are going to be there? Did you hear the numbers prophesied? Did you see what John saw? Tens and hundreds of millions and millions and millions. That goes to say that it's more than you could count. You see, God's family is a big deal. Thousands of thousands and millions of millions and such a big crowd from every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue. Now we're going somewhere with this, okay? You see, God is in salvation mode, and he's showing us the culmination of him opening up the door to whosoever will. He's showing you just how big it is, just how powerful, just how much it is. And God has invited every person who lives on planet Earth to be a part of his future, to be a part of the future that he's describing. Jesus described this future event as well. Jesus was sitting one day in the home of a chief Pharisee, and they were having a dinner, and there were a lot of wealthy people there. The Bible says that the rich people were there, and there were lawyers there. Specifically, Jesus identifies the people that were there. We read about it in Luke chapter 14, and Jesus is going to make reference to this same coming event. Okay? Verse 16, then Jesus said to them, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many." Now, this certain man he's talking about, of course, it parallels God. When we make an overlay and we lay God on top of this, we can see who the other players are, and we can find ourselves in every Bible story as well. You know, we've taught about Bible overlays, how important it is for us to find ourselves in the story in the Bible. And if we don't like who we are, make an adjustment, okay? Because the Bible shares truth. And so here, this master of the house, okay, He has invited many people to this great supper, Jesus said. Okay? Verse 17. And so this master of the house, he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Supper time. There is a supper time coming. Okay? Now, there may be a personal supper time for me or you, but there's a supper time when everybody's going to show up. Okay? And God determines when that is ready. You can read about it as well in Matthew chapter 22, if you would like to meet it. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 22 that when all these people were invited, they made light of it. Ooh, we don't want to make light of the invitation that we have been given to this marriage supper, right? Yeah, don't want to do it. Verse 18. So he gave a supper and he invited a bunch of people. Verse 18. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Now note that these are not reasons. These are excuses. Jesus says excuses. That, you know, there is a difference between a reason and an excuse, right? They began to make excuses. It's like they didn't feel like it was important enough. Have you ever been in a group of people and one person says, hey, I think I'm going to Dairy Queen. Y'all want to go? And you kind of look at one another and you really don't want to go. So you begin to try to find a way to say, well, you know, I've got to go do this or that or the other thing. And all of you know that you could go if you wanted to. But you don't want to. Why? Because it's not important to you. Well, that's what's happening going on here. They began to make excuses. And another one said, verse 19, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. I got some work I need to do. Okay, that's what he said. One of them said, I have somewhere else I want to go. I want to go to the movies. I want to go to my field. Another one said, hey, I got some work I need to do. And the third one doesn't even make an excuse. He says, hey, listen, I've married a wife, and you know I can't go. I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. No excuse here. Let me just be plain with you. I cannot come. My wife, she said no. Verse 21. So the servant goes back to the master of the house, and he reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, now hold on a second. We're talking about God. Jesus is talking about God getting mad. Ooh, I would turn up my hearing aids right here. Being angry, he said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. With whom is God angry? He's not angry with the messengers. Okay? He's not angry with the servants. He's not angry with the few people that showed up. He's angry with those that he invited that Matthew 22 says made light of it, that thought the invitation was something small or something that didn't matter. You see, the invitation cost him his very son's life. You see, the invitation is something that God has been working on for all of creation. The holy messengers of God, including ministers of the gospel, were sent out quickly. Quickly, why? Because time is short. When Jesus is telling this, he's telling it as though that there is a rush going on. What is the rush? The rush is that you have but one life. You have but one life, and you've probably already spent some of it, maybe half of it, maybe two-thirds of it, and the time is short. And he sent his servants, he sent ministers out, go out quickly, he said, into the streets and lanes and highways and byways into the common areas of life. You know, Jesus here, of course, was drawing a line between the Jews and the Gentiles, saying that since the Jews have failed to receive, I will send the gospel to the Gentiles. We understand that line that he was prophesying about. But even greater than that, to each generation and to every individual, God is saying the time is short. I have made an invitation. Jesus was prophesying. Verse 22, and the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded. What does it mean? That means I went to the highways and the byways, and I went out to the lame and the blind, and I went out, you know, to the Gentile nations, and I invited them. I did what you said. I spent my time inviting the lost to come and to accept your Son as Savior. And yet there is still more room. There are still more seats in the church. There is still more room in heaven. There is still more opportunity around the throne. There's still room today. There's still room in the ark. There's still room. The door is open. The invitation is out. One day it will be closed. Come. And so the master in verse 23 said to the servant, go out to the highways. Go to the hedges. Go to the homeless. Go out to the travelers. Go out to those who feel as though that they're just passing through and rushing through, so that, look at the whole reason that God is doing this. He has a reason. The reason is that my house may be filled. I do not want one empty seat at the banquet table. Wow. Wow. This is God, that my house may be full. You see, God loves a full house. It's not just a preacher that loves a full house. It's not just a grandmother that loves a full house. You know, it's not just the guy at the movie theater taking the tickets that loves a full house. You know, God loves a full house. God loves a full house, both in heaven at supper time and on earth each Sunday, in every church that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what he is compelling us to do. That's what he said. Go out the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Beg them, compel them, give them reasons. Keep pushing, make an argument. Argue with them, wrestle with them, struggle with them, put pressure on them, compel them to come in, that my house might be full. Just like Passover. Do you remember that Passover, for 1,500 years, the Jews had a dress rehearsal for Passover. Every year, they got together and went through the same thing. Why? It was a dress rehearsal. And one day Jesus showed up, who was the Lamb of God, and he was the real deal. It was a big deal, a real deal, but there was 1,500 years of dress rehearsal. The Jews even grew weary of it and stopped it for some periods of time. And it was almost like, I have to, not I get to. And they were reminded and encouraged, and they would reinstitute it. And, you know, it's no different with church. Church this morning is a dress rehearsal for what we've just read about in heaven. This is the dress rehearsal where you gather together and you worship God, and you sing to Him, and you hear His word, and you praise Him, and you were slain to receive glory and honor and power and majesty. Weren't we singing that this morning? And the government shall be upon your shoulders, and you your name says it all. It says it all. This was just a dress rehearsal for what we see in Revelation 5, in Revelation 20, in Revelation 14. It's just a dress rehearsal for what Daniel saw in Daniel 7. Here we are today in a dress rehearsal for the greatest event, for that wedding supper, that marriage supper of the Lamb. Here we are today. What do we do? What do we do in order to prepare for this real event that is coming, what can we do? Let's go back to the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Let me tell you what we can do. What John the Apostle left us as instruction and encouragement that he saw in heaven, that he saw a heavenly pattern, and he heard the voice of God. And this is what was done. Verse 6 in chapter 14. And I encourage you, read the whole book of Revelation and get the context. Read the whole Bible, get the context. Okay? Verse 14. Verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Well, here are my three closing points. What do we do? Number one, respect God. What can you do in order to prepare for the eternity that we have just read about? Fear God, the angel said. Fear God. That means respect and reverence. That means that God has a special place in our life, a place that no one else has. He has a place of reverence, a place of respect. We give glory to God. Give God some credit for being God. God created the heavens and the earth. God created. Can you imagine God? Give Him some credit. Okay? He is God, and there is none other. Fear God. Number two, worship Him. Worship God. After all, He made heaven and earth. You are created by intelligent design. No one in the world could refute intelligent design. It is asinine to imagine that you came from some big bang or from some evolutionary track through millions and billions of years. Not even possible. You have to believe a whole load of garbage in order to stand on a place to even start believing that. You got to take off from another planet to believe that kind of fallacy. And if you are created by intelligent design, then there is a God. Give that God some credit. His name is Jehovah. He is El Elohim. He is Almighty God. He is the God of the Bible. He is the Father of Jesus. God of the Bible is not the God of Islam. It's not what the Buddhists believe. It's not what the Hindu believe. Okay? My God has a son. His name is Jesus. It's all He wants to talk about. My God is coming back. My God is a lover of men's souls. My God is a Prince of Peace. My God loves sinners. He loves the infidel. He wants to save and include the infidel. Our God is a mighty God. Fear Him and worship Him. Give Him credit. Worship Him. He made everything. And number three, you heard what the angel said, you saw? He had a copy of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. My goodness. Had in his hand. And what was he going to do? Preach. Preach it to every person. That's what number three is. Number one, respect God. Number two, worship Him. Number three, proclaim. That's what preach. Preach sometimes puts you in a category of wanting, you know, thinking that this is what I'm supposed to do. No. Proclaiming and preaching is what everyone is supposed to do. Proclaim the everlasting gospel to everyone living on earth, to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. It is a big deal. Okay? Treat it like a big deal. It's a big deal. Compel people to come in. Proclaim the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, just like we have done here today to you. You, those of you here on campus and those of you online, without regard to your past, without regard to what time it is, wherever you may be, you have been invited by Almighty God. Can you imagine a better invitation? You have received a personal invitation to come into the family of God. You can do that right now, just like what I said, by inviting Him in. He's knocking on your door. You can say, "Come in." Or you can make light of it. You can say, "Come in." Yes. Or you can say, "Well, I have some work to do." You can say yes, or you can say, "Well, I've got this reason, that reason, or my wife won't let me." Accept the invitation. Time is running out. Every hour we get closer to this great celebration. I want to be there. God wants you to be there. Say yes to Him today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes here on campus, those of you at home? Won't you take a solemn moment with us and consider, are you sure that if Jesus came today, are you sure that if the world ended or if your world ended today, that you would go to heaven? What would you say if Jesus asked you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" You know, there are a lot of things you could say, but nothing will matter except one thing, and that is, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. There is no other way, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Won't you accept Him in your heart right now? Just invite Him in. He'll help straighten it out. He'll help you make the decisions you need to make. He'll give you the answers. As time goes along, He will answer the questions you have. But the biggest question is, will you accept Him? Will you accept the invitation? Pray with me right now. And let's ask Jesus into our heart and our life for the first time, or into our situation and our life, whatever you're facing, He will come in and He will help you with every situation. Just like Pastor Sergey said, you can be free. Even if you are in a prison, you can be free through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for creating heaven and earth and for creating us with such intelligent design. Thank You, Lord, for giving us a mind, Lord, and an ability, an intellect, Lord, to think and to reason, Lord. But God, help us and forgive us, Lord, where we have reasoned You away, where we have excused ourselves from simply embracing the salvation, the invitation that You have offered. I know things, Lord, are getting desperate and time is running out for so many people. Lord, today, so many people, their time will run out, Lord. God, it's necessary that we reverence You, respect You, Lord, and that we worship You, but also that we proclaim and compel others to listen to the gospel, the everlasting message of salvation. Right now, God, save souls. Come into our heart, Lord. Forgive us of sin, Lord. Forgive us where we failed You. Save our souls. Lord, create in us, Lord, a new life. Teach us how to live. Walk with us. Help us to solve our problems, Lord, to find peace and joy, Lord, to be a light shining to others, Lord. Use us, God, so that Your house might be full, so that not one seat in heaven is left empty. Oh, God, Lord, save us and use us to lead others to Christ. We ask these things in the name of Your Son, the one we worship, who was slain before the foundation of the world. We ask this in His name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.